There's hope. All right, well, welcome. Good to see you all. This is our penultimate class, I think. We have one more next week. So, as Loretta eloquently put it, we've got to answer all the world's problems by next week. No pressure. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you for this space. Thank you for this time. Thank you for all of us at this table. Thank you for their investment and their interest and their wisdom and their care for how to live a good life, how to follow you, how to learn and lean into sacrifice in the way of the cross. It's crazy, but we trust you, and we believe that the good life, the abundant life, is found in you and your way. And so as we reflect on our lives as parents, as individuals, as citizens, as members of culture and society here, we discern what it means to follow you in these times. We ask that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us and give us wisdom and insight. Help us to discern things that we should refrain from and avoid and circumvent, and things that we should throw ourselves into and absorb and do better. Yes. We ask that we would ultimately live for you and point and witness to you and point others to you and thereby love them and love them in pointing to you. Mm-hmm. May you be honored and glorified in everything that we say and do in this next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Did somebody get up and close that, or did somebody else close it?
Whoever walked by.
Oh, nice. They were like, shut up. All right. Admittedly, I'd like to hear a lot from you. I want to talk about self-care. And I kind of paired these three together. Self-care, narcissism, and sacrifice. There's a thread there, and I'm not entirely sure how thick it is, but it's there. But I can remember several years before I left the academy, my students talking about self-care. I don't know how old this term is, but at least for the past 5 years, this term has been thrown around, self-care. Now, one of the things that I would want to highlight is there is a dictionary definition of it, and then there's something akin to like social media definition of it. What did you say? Treat yourself. Which is so fascinating because the disparity is so literally bipolar. I mean, so I would like to hear from you how you would define it, how you've encountered it or experienced it, if you have. But here's two definitions from Oxford Dictionary. Self-care is the practice of taking action to preserve or improve one's own health. Pretty simple. The second definition, the practice of taking an active role in protecting one's own well-being and happiness, in particular during periods of stress. A couple things jump out at me. One is, it's a practice. Two, it's taking action. Just the phrasing of that is interesting. It's not just doing, but taking action. Preserving or improving one's health. And then the other definition says protecting one's well-being and happiness.
You mean joy?
Well, I don't think you'd find that in Oxford's dictionary.
Oh, I thought maybe.
Mm-hmm. So the way that I have encountered this, last thing I'll say before I, even if nobody speaks up, there's just awkward silence for a while. Last thing I'll say is, my experience with this is self-care pretty much means anything.
Should mean, can mean, or does mean.
I'm sorry, one more time.
Should mean, can mean, does mean. It should mean anything. It does mean.
My encounter, my experience with it is it means whatever you want it to mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's entirely dependent upon the individual, like.
And their whim. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you get into narcissism. When I, years and years ago, when we were working with kids who were severely handicapped, there was self-care. And self-care was just being able to take care of yourself, being able to wash your face, being able to put your clothes on. That was what self-care was way back in the old days.
Mm.
Now it's getting to be your happiness, your well-being, you know, all those kind of things that are me.
Yeah.
That said, I think we should take care of ourselves. I'm not saying we shouldn't.
I want to respond to something you said, but I would like to collect other experiences or observations.
I mean, everything's so busy right now with parents working, you know, doing this, that, kids having to go places all day, and to me, self-care is just trying to lower stress in my body. For the purpose of my well-being and health, and also my sanity.
One thing that comes to my mind is whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Yeah. As an introvert, to bring myself back to that place, I've got to be by myself and have that alone time to bring myself down. Also sort of an extrovert, if I'm only around myself or my immediate family, I'm sucked dry and I need to get time out with other people. So I get refueled that way. So I'm thinking more of a refueling than care. What gives me the energy to do all that stuff that you need to do? So that's one of the things I tend to think about.
So being energized many times has a different meaning for each of us. What energizes me wouldn't necessarily energize you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that ties to I'm thinking about in the Sunday school class that Dr. Gordon taught, and he talked about, he was talking about work and leisure and how both work and leisure are like intended to shape us more into the image of Christ, right? And so, like, our leisure should compensate for what our work doesn't do. So, like, if you work alone in front of a computer all the time, then your leisure, your leisure may need to be engaging with other people, whereas, like, if you're always, you know, talking to people and on all the time when you're working, like, leisure may need to be solitude, you know, or just quiet time. But I feel like self-care and leisure, to some degree, should be linked.
That's all right.
I feel like self-care should be not, I want to go get my nails done, but like, it should be I'm thinking a lot about this. I was listening to this podcast, and they were talking about parenting, but they were talking about the nurture and admonition. how if you had a garden and you refused to water or fertilize it and all you did was rip out the weeds, it would be like a horrible garden, right? Like things wouldn't really grow, the weeds would keep coming back. And that's kind of like when you look at the nurture and admonition, but I feel like it's the same, it's not just in parenting, it's also in like being a human being. So I don't know if I just feel like self-care in our culture really does just mean like treat yourself. Like you're having a hard day, go shopping,
yeah.
go mm-hmm. get a Starbucks, you know, whatever. Or as a mom, I feel like people say all the time, like there's never a time in your life, in my life, that I ever felt less like human than after I had a baby, right? And you're like sitting there and there's, you know, you don't, your body feels totally wrong and you have this baby screaming at you and they can't, you like, you don't know what to do with them. And there's no time. Like, what do you mean self-care? Like, I can't, you know, I'm like holding
mm-hmm.
the baby
yeah.
in the bathroom, you know?
While you're brushing
yes.
your teeth.
Yeah. So, I think, so, it, but I don't think that's what culture thinks about when they're saying self-care. I think they're thinking like, oh, it's so hard to be a person. It's so hard to like live into the responsibilities of like your life, just escape it and like, take care of yourself. I feel like that's what
mm-hmm.
like culture would say it is, but I don't think that's, I do think that it's an important thing to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that that's, I don't think those things are the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't know.
Well, I think as a Christian, it's important to have self-care because I think it makes you more in tune with Christ. I think that so often in our lives we get all wrapped up in all these things and we're trying to make them all work, and yet Christ just says, come to me and spend some time with me. Now that doesn't have to be just a quiet time. For me, it's taking a walk in the neighborhood. And I might see some people on that walk in the neighborhood. So he's showing me people to talk to. That doesn't mean I have to have a timer on and say, oh, you're interrupting my walker. Could you walk this way? Because I need to know what time I'm doing. But it's stopping and saying, hello, how are you? I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Or I don't think I've ever met you before. You know, and so you find out things like that about people. Or it's just this anonymous wave that I do to any car that goes by, and 90% of the time, they wave back. You know, I right, my sister will say, who is that? I go, I don't know.
It's in cars these days.
Yeah, so I think that's part of my self-care is I know I should do some exercise, like I got here early tonight because the beauty of the day was escaping me and I wasn't doing anything for self-care, and I thought, you love outside, so I came, parked my car, and walked down this little dead end with the keyhole at the end. And I thought, and the sun was shining still, and some of the leaves. At one house, I turned my head, and they were red and yellow and green, and they're almost all gone. So I just bathed in the light of God's love shining down through those leaves and thought, you know, this is a special moment. You're not going to see leaves like this anymore. You took advantage of, these are always going to be here, and now they're gone, you know. They're brown, so this is a nice moment. And I think that it reawakens who you are, because there are certain things that bring you joy automatically. You know, it might be your children when they're helpful without being asked to be helpful, or when they come and give you a hug and say, I love you, you know. And how do we respond? That's nice. Wait, I have to finish this on the computer before I give you a hug or whatever, you know. So, and I think we treat each other like that as an adult, you know. I thought you were going to the grocery store. Well, I had to send these out, and so I'm not going now, but I'll do it after lunch. And then all of a sudden, after lunch comes by, and then, well, this came up, and I can't do it today. And I'm thinking, I'll just go earlier and do it, and then I'll come over here. And, you know, no big deal. And I thought, you can't make big deals about little things, because that's not good self-care. You're just getting yourself all riled up to come to talk to people, and it's not going to be something that's edifying or loving or clear, because your brain's all askew with all this stuff floating around So that's some of my self-care. One other self-care that I have that I find essential, even though I might get up an hour earlier like I did today because I read the clock wrong. And so as a result, I didn't know I'd done that until I got to my mother's, and my sister that's on duty came out and said, "What are you doing here so early?" I looked at the clock. I said, "Oh, okay." First I'd looked at a clock or a watch. I just used my alarm clock and my eyes were fuzzy. So, but I like to pray when I wake up. Just these 5 points that I calm me down, help me to remember how to behave, my value, my worth, putting the protective armor on. These things that I find get my brain in the right gear when I wake up and not like, oh, morning, you know, instead of, oh, morning, you know, it's a nice time of the day. So, but those are some different things that I find are important for my self-care. Just to focus on him and how he's blessed us and how he's walking with us through all the different experiences he's brought into our lives. So, even when they're not coming, when they're asked to, you know, you have to think, geez, but, you know, it's not always rationalizing with children. So.
You know me, I always want to go to scripture. So how did Jesus take care of himself?
That's right.
You know, the three basic times that he had, you know, he would be teaching with his disciples, and then he would be surrounded by the crowds and ministering to them. And it always seemed after he did that, he would get away for his time with the Lord.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we're looking for that time away, getting a manicure or shopping, but we're not following the pattern that Scripture gave us, which was, you know, have you spent time just with the Lord, letting him fill you up? Because we definitely, like, with your kids, you've got enough teaching time, and then you can be around a lot of other people, but if we skip that part, we're skipping a big part.
Yeah. A health-building part.
Mm-hmm. The Lord's been teaching me just through my overdoing, that there's different areas of your life. You know, when your kids are little, you have to find your time away with the Lord. Mine was all Saturday morning. My husband fixed pancakes and watched cartoons with the kids. And I had my pull myself together time. And then as the kids grew, I'd find different times. When I was working up here, I would go to lunch and grab a bite to eat and go park in the park across the street and spend time with the Lord there. And now I've got all the time in the world to spend with the Lord. And I still get busy. But what he's teaching me now, and don't hold me to this, is that before I do each thing, I have to ask him, if this is what he wants me to do. I was at the bank, and I was sitting in the parking lot, and I prayed whether I should come here or go home.
Oh.
I mean, that's what it's come to for me, as far as my energy level is concerned. I just have so much. But it's good, because I'm spending time asking the Lord, what should I do now? And it's, I find it refreshing my soul. Plus, I'm going to bed earlier than watching
that helps.
TV. Instead
that
of
helps.
Watching TV.
Yeah.
Especially during the World Series and things like that.
Well, glad you're here. Thanks for making that decision. I don't think I'm where the rest of you are. I'm troubled by the language. I'm troubled by the language. I'm troubled by the motivation, not just culturally, but even within the church, the way that we think about self-care and the need for it. But I also don't completely understand. There's other things that I would want to clarify and understand before I adopted self-care as something I think about. I think the closest thing biblically we could get to is you must love yourself. But there's no admonition for us to care for ourselves. Is there a difference between the two?
Well,
now?
Wait, but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. And in what context is that discussed? Go get your nails did?
No.
Or refrain from all of these sins?
Well, yeah, but I think, I don't know, I think it's taking care of your body too. I do. Not getting your nails done, not yeah. doing that, but not, we have to take care of ourselves.
Well.
Or do we just say, no, I'm not going to go to the doctor. No, I'm not going to
no,
do
that's
this.
Different.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That's different. I think, so what I would name in our motivation and in our spirit of practicing self-care is we need escape and we need an outlet. Mm-hmm. And I deserve escape. And
I deserve
how? I deserve an outlet. I deserve...
It's owed to me.
It's owed to me for working so hard at life. In jumping four steps ahead, the other thing I would name is there, and it's difficult to name and digest, so don't lash out at me and lambast me before you ponder it for a second. There is the assumption that if I completely pour out myself, it's bad for my health. That's one of the assumptions. And I would just wonder theologically and biblically if the image we get is the more that you give yourself, the more you find yourself. Now, I'm not just talking about burnout, but I'm talking about the motivation, the spirit in which we do pour ourselves out if it would be more life-giving than we think it would be, you know.
So what I always told my kids is the best way to develop self-esteem is to esteem others, which sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we spend our time trying to justify our existence by just driving ourselves constantly?
Well, I think like where I'm at in my own life with self-care is very, like, I'm not, self-care right now is like, I get to go to the dentist, because like I didn't for lots of years. Like when we were having little babies, I mean, when do I do that? I work, he works, we have little kids, there's no family here, like babysitters are expensive and hard to find, you know? So it's things like, it's not the escape, like, entitlement kind of thing. But I do think, like, especially for, I think self-care, I think, well, I don't know, maybe I'm just projecting myself with other people, but when I think of self-care, I think of, like, I have to go to the doctor, I have to go to the dentist, like, maybe, you know, I don't know, I'm kind of, like, taking time to take a shower, like, things, like, very basic things.
Yeah.
Like, that is self-care, right? Mm-hmm. That's, like, just... not forgetting that, like, oh, right, I am a body, and, like, it requires
some maintenance.
Maintenance, yeah. Right.
I don't think, yeah, not to interrupt you. I would say that, well, I get your point in relating it to caring for yourself, like
right.
showering and dental.
Right.
I that's not the phenomenon we're dealing with, though, right?
Right. Right.
And it just raised to the surface for me that there is a difference between self-care, how culture and society expresses
right.
it, and me time.
Sure.
Those are two different things,
right.
too.
Right.
right.
Well, and the other thing I think is that in the, I also think that there's a necessity of like trusting in the Lord's provision. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to pour yourself out entirely, the only way you can actually do that is if you are truly trusting, like the Lord is providing what I am pouring out because I have, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so if you don't, if you live in a world where you don't, where you don't trust that the Lord is providing for you, then of course you think, I got to get my me time. I got to make sure I fill my own cup because I can't pour from an empty cup. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, of course that's your worldview. Of course that's your take on it. But if you're not,
not just trust. I know you mean this, but like not just trusting, but abiding.
Yes, yes.
Like,
and obeying, right? And like submitting to that.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. No question of limits. It's just the question of how much has a therapeutic mindset of health infiltrated how we understand Christian sacrifice or service. There's that, but it's just the very category of self-care just doesn't really compute for me. And the motivation to do it, because there's something to these definitions and there's something to the phenomenon that suggests that, look, the rest of you are stealing life from me. And I need to get away from you so I can salvage some of my life. Like, that's really what's at the heart of self-care. If I didn't have to do this, I wouldn't do this. I would take care of myself all the time. You know, there's something that is, there's something begrudging that makes the very category possible. And there's something profoundly, regardless of what you do or taking time for yourself, like there's something profoundly self-centered at root in self-care. I have to take back myself or you will kill me. You know, and how did we even get there? Like, what's going on in all of these, our understanding of health and happiness and our understanding of sacrifice and service? Like, what's getting us, what's shaping us so that we're here and it's like, I better take some time or you're going to kill me, you know? Because that is shaping how we get there.
So we talked about leisure time, and you were talking about you like to box.
Mm-hmm.
So where does boxing fit out?
That's how I get all my anger out.
Okay. Now, is that part of your self-care? Taking care of your body?
I just don't even want to use the language of self-care.
Okay, don't use the language of self-care.
Do I think...
What can we put in?
No, this is good. This is part of the problem, is I think once we shift our grammar and language, it can also help us perhaps think more biblically and theologically. Mm-hmm. We are commanded to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not commanded to care for ourselves. Well, insofar as loving your neighbor as yourself, that's a commandment.
That to me is an assumption. I'm assuming that you love yourself, therefore you should.
But if you don't love yourself, is that a problem for a Christian?
It was for me for a while.
So, I mean, I think there's a reason that indirectly we're commanded to love ourselves. I mean, I would say we're directly commanded, but... If you even want to go so far as to say we're indirectly commanded, there's a reason that we are. So I just don't like the language, and I think it's inconsistent with how we should be thinking. But should Christians take care of their bodies? Absolutely. Should they take care of their minds? Absolutely. Should they practice hygiene? Absolutely.
But you don't consider that self-care.
No, because I think...
Like those words.
No, it's not just that. I hope I'm making it clear. You see what's at root in it.
Right.
Well, the terms can be pure for me. That's fine. But what I'm trying to highlight is, do you see how self-care is escape? Do you see how self-care is antagonistic? I got to take myself back, or you're going to take all of my life. I need, and how it gets muddied or sullied with me time, which is a different phenomenon, like, or hiding behind it. Yeah. Self-care is almost like, you know, there's other things that come before self-care, and self-care is kind of the monster, at least culturally practiced, is the monster that pops up its head and says, no more, right? And like, there's so much more here to work with. So it's not just that I don't like the two terms. I do think there are other biblical and theological terms that could be better suited for our understanding of that, but I think we should take care of ourselves. I think we should love ourselves. But what is being practiced in culture and society is not what we should be doing.
So are you finding this creeping into the church? I have never used the term self-care.
No.
I may care for my body, care for my mind, care for my relationships, but I don't know anybody who's used that term.
Well,
you've known people.
I'm around college students, and so they're young.
Yeah.
But they're also not, they go to church, but they go to like, they don't go to church. They, so, all, but you know, some, the,
they're going
is,
where they're
they are
being
swimming
tickled.
In the water. You know, when you go to a sermon and the sermon is like not about, when the sermon series is on, you know,
yeah,
how to have the best relationship ever. You know, it's like
right.
Not, right? I don't know. I made that up. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah,
so said,
all the
their
time.
Their ears are being tickled. It's
I mean,
what you want to hear and not.
Right. I listened to a young woman who's like a leader in Christian fellowship say all she wants in her life is to be happy. Right? And the thing is, and I know I made that face too, but this but like, but that's not, she is not an enigma, like she's not unusual. I think especially younger, like
for the younger.
I think jumping four steps ahead. Insofar as on a Sunday morning I say, man, I worked all 6 days this week. I'm gonna sleep in and I'm gonna skip church. There is something I've bought into that's related to self-care. And the assumption, which I want to press, and I don't know, I just know theologically if I thought through this, that my health does not necessarily come from me taking care of myself. I want to believe that the spirit of life and the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life could graciously infuse me with life, even if I completely poured myself out all the time. Science can tell me one thing. I'm not anti-science. Science can tell me one thing, but I also have to believe what Jesus tells me. And so there's that assumption that I'm quite certain has infiltrated the church, and the impulse for self-care, even if it's different manifestations or layers or flavors, that's there too. I don't think it's just a, and I know you're not saying this, I don't think it's a college demographic.
I think it's just with different labels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
What, how would mm-hmm. you define self-care? What kind of?
Just get rid of it.
Yes.
No, I mean.
What kind of terminology.
Do we replace it with anything?
What would you replace it with? For us to agree to or look at and investigate rather than self-care?
And practice, yeah.
What rather than self-care, what should it be?
Well, let me start with practice. I am, so to my example there a moment ago, I am trying to see and believe that, and it's true, I do work often 6 days a week, and then on Sunday mornings I have to be on. I want to see and believe that there is something about gathering for worship and fellowshipping that's enlivening. Mm-hmm. That the Spirit is restoring and revitalizing me on that day in which it seems like I'm working 7 days a week, you know? So I want to be deliberate about throwing myself into that and having the right posture to receive it. So you might say, I'm trying to practice self-care that way without escaping or putting myself in solitude. I do think coming to church when you don't feel like it and coming to church after an exhausting week is the right practice to engage in.
If
not sleeping.
The right expectations and the right attitude.
Right.
Otherwise, it would be distressingly
draining. Right. But I also think that, you know, the Holy Spirit can wake you from your dogmatic slumbers. And but yes, I do think, you know, as I've said, I'm trying to get into the right mindset to say, I believe that this can be transformative and enlivening. So Kyle, when you go to fellowship and you worship on Sunday, be prepared to receive that. I do think that's important. But there are days in which I've gone and it's been like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful what we're doing, you know, and I didn't want to be there. So I know that the Holy Spirit can work despite my anticipations. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, it's just like Nate's sermon on Sunday. He said the more that you love something, the less the more you're willing to work for it or give away to it, mm-hmm. and like the less costly that seems.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking about Rebecca, like, no, Rachel.
Rachel.
In a moment. But like, it's, I think that's the more, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, like, to the more that you love the church, the less costly it seems to serve the church. The more you love your spouse, and I think that mm-hmm. isn't just a practice. I think that's, you have to discipline yourself
mm-hmm.
to that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do want to go radical with this the more we talk about it. I mean, I just, there's also...
I'm not dressed for radical.
And I mean, I've always struggled with introversion and extroversion language too. Like, I get the point personality-wise. But for some people, it's licensed to not be in community. I'm an introvert. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you were made for community. Mm-hmm. You will spend everlasting life in community. Mm-hmm. So there's something awry there. Mm-hmm. And it's just a radical investigation for me is, what if? Mm-hmm. And we have burnout. It's very evident. We've seen it. We've experienced it. But what if it's because we've so bought into individualism and our own well-being being something that we take care of and shepherd, which has brought us to a place in which we could be burned out, But if our entire framework and mindset was of a different order, that being around others would constantly feel refreshing and enlivening and wholesome and life-giving. And that doesn't mean talking all day with people. You know what I mean? It just means like being around others in whatever capacity that might be, instead of hiding out in a cabin for a couple weeks to get away from them,
right,
is more wholesome and enlivening than doing that.
Yeah.
Because we've...
I think David and I were in Guatemala together. Uganda together, sorry.
You
were not.
You got that.
Uganda together.
You didn't run away together.
When we did that mission trip, and I had never given more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you're up early, you're eating, you're on the road, you're ministering, you're talking, you're giving, you come back and you're in community because you got a debrief, you get a little bit of sleep, and you start it all over again. And I've never been more energized.
Mm.
Because the only energy I could run on was what God was providing.
Mm.
And I'd love to do it again, but I'm not sure I'm up for that anymore.
But I think that's a good point. Like, I think we're really afraid to give it all away, because then what's left for me? Mm-hmm. Or what's left for what I deem should be getting my energy and my attention? If you are only depending on what is being given, you know, your daily bread, right? You're only depending on that. There's no like delusion of self-sufficiency or like, you know, that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing, you know?
Yeah. I was going to share about a different place in my life than most of you, since the, you know, a lot of you are, well, some of us are in the same boat, but, you know, parents. And I am now on a different side of that, because we're taking care of my 98-year-old mom. And blessings have been that I have a sister, Rachel, that I've been with as my sister, living in the same place for a long time. I have a brother, Paul, that comes down from Slippery Rock. And I have a sister, Beth, that lives in Philadelphia with a husband. And she has 7 children and 16 grandchildren, and she gives of herself and comes over for 2 weeks. And that, you know, we all were raised in a Christian home, and we all became Christians at some time. I don't know when but boy, that is a different thing. There's 4 of us with 4 different Christian dynamics. You know, we're not all on the same page all the time. So, you know, it began to be where, you know, this is your job and this is my job. And I'm thinking, wait, how old are we? We're all between, you know, 60 and 70. How can we be, you know, kind of tit for tat type thing? I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. So all of a sudden God said, you know, sisters need help sometimes in the kitchen. Why don't you just go in and ask if you can do something? Maybe they'll ask you to help cook a vegetable or something. Or maybe they'll just ask you to get the ingredients out of the pantry. I don't know. But I decided about 2 weeks ago that would be a nice thing to do. And I find it rewarding because I'm not serving myself. I'm trying to show love to them and that they're valuable. And it's worked out for me that even my brother and I, who had kind of defined jobs, will help each other. He'll do mine, I'll do his. And so it's... And we're using manners with each other, you know. I mean, I taught 34 years and I was majoring on please, thank you, and you're welcome. You know, that was, as an art teacher, you know, you have to do it with every level. You know that with your children. And so I think that, you know, saying it to each other as, you know, 65 mean age, you know, saying thank you, you're welcome. Oh, you know what I mean, you know. You think to yourself, well, I do know what you mean, but it's nicer to hear, you know, thank you, or whatever. Well, I'm not going to say it. I said, well, I'll just say you're welcome then. So anyways, I'm finding that it's good that my mother still can hear us, because we don't do this catfighting type thing in her presence. And so that makes it so, I think we've grown through the experience. You know, it's been... we're in the 11th month, and we're not sure how many months my mom will be there. So why don't we treasure this time, because we don't know. I had a stepbrother. I had many stepbrothers and sisters, 9 of them. And my stepbrother David, he had his son Tyler, who was in his mid-20s, killed this week. He was out on a group of people that were taking care of trees, and he was the flagman. And some vehicle came and hit him right over, and he died as a 23, 24-year-old. And I thought, boy, we really don't know how much time we have
here.
No, we
don't.
You know, that was, fortunately he was a Christian, but you don't know. And I think that, you know, I get in the car and I think, okay, Lord, help me to get to the place. Drunk driver, person on their, you know, I call them little machines, you know, they're you know, not paying attention, you know. And you don't know when things are going to happen in your vehicle. So, you know, deer jumped out. I wasn't prepared, you know. Mm-hmm. So, well, we are not always prepared for those things. So we just have to say, God, direct me, guide me. And that's all you can say. And you know, he will, to the extent that he sees profitable for the situation.
Mm-hmm. I think the older I get, the more radical I get. Does that happen to anybody else? I mean, I'm also, so this conversation about self-care just makes me think, you know, what for? I mean, I think that's my biggest objection. What for? Why? And it raises the question for me, like going back to your question, Loretta, about taking care of our bodies. Why?
I guess I've been depressed several times in the past 3 years. It's been very important for me to take care of myself in new ways that I hadn't been. Because medication is not something I enjoy. And of course, there are days go by and I think, did you take your medication?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I find out the next day that Tuesday's still there and it's Wednesday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, I have to always be looking up, because this time of year is so easy to look down because of seasonal affective disorder and short days, and I don't like cold, you know. So, but what am I going to do? How am I going to approach that? So, you know, I'm going to remember Jesus is the light, and the light is not necessarily a light that I need from the sky. It's a light that lives inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And then major on that, and verses and different experiences with that will help me. Psalms, big thing in my life, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the question that ultimately culminates here, which I think is connected to, and I don't know if we got into this when we talk about happiness, but what is health for? I think that's an important question. And I think there's a lot of people in the church and outside of the church who just want to live a long life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable thinking that way. Because
they're afraid
to die.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to be. They're afraid to not fulfill their calling or have a legacy, and these sorts of things. And I think it really puts things in perspective. If self-care was motivated by service to the kingdom, I would understand it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. I think you could do the same thing, and it could be faithful or unfaithful.
Right.
Right. Like you could.
Say a little bit more, though.
Like with regard to self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could, self-care, you could pursue health, you could exercise, for example, and that could be, you know, with the purpose of,
mm-hmm.
or with the what for, right? It could be like, because you hate yourself, or you don't like what you see in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
or you want to wear a bikini, or you,
yep.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
Or you could exercise as a way to like care for the body the Lord gave you mm-hmm. in a way to be able to play with your kids mm-hmm. And to serve. And so I think you can, mm-hmm. you could participate in the same, you know, you could, I don't want to say self-care, you could participate in the same activity
yeah.
and it could be faithful or unfaithful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sans the escapism, though.
Right.
Right. You still, I mean, I think that goes into the motivation, which if the motivation was corrected and reformed,
right.
it could be faithful or unfaithful. But if somehow escapism could still be prevalent, then we're not altogether there yet. But yeah.
but you could look at the same thing as solitude, like versus escapism, right? Like this.
You could yes.
It could look
yes
the same,
yes.
Right, like from the outside looking in on another person, the same behavior could look like
right.
either one of those. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes. Yep. Noted. Yep.
So I like quick scripture things on health. And I like 3 John 1, where it says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So there's a balance. You know, it's just like everything has two sides. So I think if we're only working towards healthy bodies, but are neglecting that balance, we're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
I think about the monk that sat on top of a pole for mm-hmm. years
yeah.
to get close to God. And everybody waited on him, and he had what he needed. But he was being close to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was quite what God had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess so.
Care
can be very self-serving.
Yeah. So I love us. I love us.
Thank you. We love you too.
So I mean, it's a broad stretch, but I think there is something there to then, you know. Introduce narcissism as some kind of connection here too with self-care, insofar as I am concerned, like narcissists, I'm concerned. He's very dismissive of all the nymphs, but he falls in love with himself.
Does he look into a pond?
He looks into a pond, and I think you know as. As Ovid and that's eluding me right now. Homer. I can't remember if it's Homer. But what they really accentuate is he's so focused on his own appearance and his own needs. And there's something there with how self-care gets expressed and practiced. Many times self-care does have to do with how we look,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
It's just connected to maintenance. You know, if we don't maintain ourselves, you know, the chiropractor said to me today, "Oh, you're letting a beard grow." I said, mm-hmm. He said, "No, you're not going to grow your ponytail back." And I said, "Well." So anyway, I think that I really think that self-care is so important. You know, if you don't take care of your hair, you get lice. If you don't, you know, wash your face, you get facial, you know, acne or whatever you might get, you know. So I think that you know, you want to be presentable in to people you talk with. You know, you smile and there's green stuff in your teeth, you know, That's probably because you didn't go to the bathroom after you had salad at Panera or something, you know. But I think that, you know, you have to be cautious of those things, because all of a sudden you come out, you see somebody you haven't seen for years, and you start talking, and you get home and think, oh, that looked gross, you know. What I should go to the restroom when I'm done eating, make sure my teeth are cleaned, you know, at least swish with water or something, you know. So I think you want the best presentation of yourself. Ponytail or not, and you want to make sure that you are. My mother doesn't like it either. Make sure that you are representing Christ. You know, you are representing Him, and how would He appear to people? We don't really have a lot of, you know, information on that. We know that He was attractive to people.
He didn't have a lot of different clothes.
No.
We know that.
No.
Or a toothbrush.
He probably had dusty feet, of course.
And very dusty feet.
Yeah. Culture was different then.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, I'm not hearing a lot of what your concern for self-care is in this group. How do we deal with the world like that Sarah thing, you know, where they don't want to come to church on Sunday, or they just want to hear what makes them feel good? How do we encourage them to have a more balanced idea of who self is and who we are in Christ?
To be honest with you, I don't have that question in mind. I have the question of how do we practice self-care in the wrong way? I mean, I think that's where I want to be.
I'm feeling guilty, so that's why I guess I'm wondering. I'm more likely, as I'm meeting more younger people, you know, and people in the world, how can I be encouraged?
I don't think that that's a thing that needs. I don't think that needs encouragement.
No, I mean,
I don't think. I mean, I don't mean.
Oh.
I don't think encouragement. I just am remembering when Pete and I were like really new to the church, we went out to dinner with Nate and Holly. And Pete and Nate were going round and round about something, I can't remember what it was. And, I mean, in a friendly way. And Pete was saying, like, at that point, he felt like he didn't have a clear, like, direction, or I can't remember what he said, but it was like a cop-out of an answer, and I was totally like, yeah, that's a great answer, and in retrospect, but anyway, Nate was like, well, that just doesn't sound like Jesus to me, and it was, like, shocking, but it was the right thing to say, so I don't think that, I don't know, I don't think that kind of attitude needs, like, I don't think people need to be encouraged out of that. But that, I don't know.
And I don't, I mean, I don't.
That's what I'm asking. So speaking the truth in some manner is how we
affect it. I think the two things that I think is the church has to see how, and I just, I don't like the language, so find something biblical and theological that we need to maintain and be hygienic, but that's not the same thing as self-care. And we have to look closely at what self-care is and those practices in culture and society and examine ourselves and say, do we practice that to some degree? Because I think it's far more prevalent in the church than we might think. I don't think they, rightly, I don't think they need to be encouraged. I think the tables have to be flipped. You know, it's not even a balancing out. It's like you're living your life for yourself, despite the fact that you feel like you're giving yourself all the time. The very fact that you want to pursue self-care is indicative that you're giving yourself to people in such a way that you don't really want to do that, and that's why you need this time to escape. It's actually not that you're giving yourself away selflessly. You're so self-centered, you must have self-care time because you deserve it and you need it and those sorts of things. Or, you know, I mean, and that's...
If you think of it that way, I think all of us would agree that self-care is not good. And their definitions, I wonder how the definition has changed over the years.
And it is interesting to think about, like, me time. I do believe in me time.
On Sundays?
Not necessarily on Sundays, but yeah. There could be something innocent with me time, or me and God time. You know, something, you know, I do think that there is room for that, but it's just what self-care is and what motivates it is scary, and I think wrong.
Well, in the scriptures, in the Gospels, we find out that Jesus went alone and everybody would disperse. And they'd all be sleeping. He would go up on the mountaintop, and as was his custom, he'd say, and spend time with the Lord. If that wasn't self-care, I don't know what is.
Can I respond to that? I mean, one of the things that I've been thinking through that was prompted, to some degree I've thought about it, but I'm increasingly thinking more and more about it in the presuppositions that we bring to Scripture. That when Scott Moore, a couple last week or 2 weeks ago, mentioned that as an example, I said, what makes you think that Jesus did that for himself?
Well, I think he did it because he needed that time with God.
And it was then, in a sense, it was for himself too.
Well, that's the question. We're assuming that it was primarily or exclusively for himself, and I'm wondering, and as you look at the Gospels and you see how Jesus interacts with the disciples, I could also see that as an instance in which he's letting them have time to figure things out for themselves.
Or sleep,
yeah. Right? And bring their own guilt and condemnation on them, like, I'm a terrible disciple. Instead of praying, I slept through the night. I've got to be better.
Yeah. Well, and he took them away in the boat. Mm. Now, I haven't been on Galilee, but I've been on lakes. And I know when you get in a boat and take off, it's not just a 10-minute ride to the next shore.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of time, just the 12 or 13 of them, in the boat. Would that be me time for them?
For them?
Given, I don't know how to answer that, but it speaks to what I would think is abiding in Christ. If they spent days upon days with him, there's two assumptions. Wow, that's a lot of time together. I bet they fought all the time. Or they wanted to get away from each other. Mm-hmm. Or that was the most transformative experience of community that they wanted all the time. Mm-hmm. There's two ways of reading that. There's two assumptions. Now, consistent with Jesus' language and consistent with his behavior, I would like to think that they wanted more of that.
But wouldn't he be our example of how we use time away and how we use, I don't know what else to call it, me time? It would give it a different definition.
I'm listening to your words, and I don't mean to, like, open up more and more cans of worms, but, like,
what should we get that we can use by his example, from his example? What should we learn from his example?
Yeah. Here's one difficulty. So I'm confessing a little bit as I respond. Here's one problem with evangelicalism or or much of the Christian culture that I think many of us have inherited. We want to be like Jesus. We can't. Because Jesus is Lord and Savior, and he's divine. So whatever examples and whatever to-dos we accumulate and accrue from him, we have to be careful about our expectations. Jesus can do things we can't do. So we have to look at him as our leader that we are following and figure out what it looks like for us to follow him, not be him. I don't know what that looks like. I know what it looks like collectively and corporately based on what he tells us to do. Fellowship with one another. Pray with one another.
But he's told us some impossible things to do, too. Be holy as I am holy. You know, fret not. And we fret. There's a lot of things he said to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what your me time is going to be tonight.
But, I mean, you know, like, I'm rambling, but, you know, there's two ways of thinking through that. If abiding in Jesus is what we should be doing, then is it possible not to fret if we abide in him? Is it possible to be holy if we abide in him? If we ceased trying to be Jesus and be like him and followed him and lived in him and let him do all the work, would we be able to do what he calls us to do?
I think we would. I don't know if I know anybody,
though. You know, what's that?
I don't know if I know anybody at that level. But it's something we aspire to.
Something we're told to do.
Yeah, we are told to do. We're commanded to do it.
Questions, comments, concerns, fears, frustrations, deep sighs.
Have we worn you out?
No.
No.
No. I mean, no. This is invigorating. This is enlivening for me.
I'm going to share something that happened to me when I was a teenager. I'm the oldest of four. And so I went to church since I was born because my dad's a minister. And so I would be going, and that was fine. And I got this bright idea when I was about 13, and I was going to feign sick. So I said, I can't go today. I'm not feeling well. And my mother said, oh, okay. So she came in about 2 minutes later. She must have prayed to God, and she goes, I understand you're not feeling well. I'll just close the blinds for you. I already opened. And we'll see you after the service. And I said, okay, what are we having for lunch? real sick. And she said, such and such. And so then she said, oh, but you probably won't be able to eat because you'll be so sick.
Mm.
She used that psychology with me, you know, and all of a sudden I was well and jumped into my clothes and went to church because I didn't want to be in bed all day when I felt really not sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, God will guide you when you're up against those rocks that are going to come, because that's inevitable when teenagers... just are teenagers, you know. I was no different than any other teenager. Mm. I was just thankful, well, God protected me from some things. And so, but I think that, you know, going along with the Sunday thing, you know, so confusing for me because I grew up without the blue laws, so that nothing was open on Sunday, and you know, you didn't go to, there were no sporting events like the kids have today, you know. And so you spent the day at home, you know. And we'd go on vacation, and my dad said, oh, we can't use the pool today. I said, why? It's Sunday. he says, we can't play cards today. Why? Sunday, you know. I thought, I don't really like these roles, you know. I mean, I was 14 or 15 by then, and I was like, these are dumb, you know. But I think that, you know, there was a different perspective, holiness-wise, of what Sunday was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being another of the 7 days of the week that's just similar to the rest, so mm-hmm. some food for thought.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Anything else? Pray for us. Lord and Savior, we are humbled and Lord, we're honored to be called by you. We're grateful for the opportunity to follow you. Lord, it is indeed difficult. It's arduous. The journey, the pilgrimage, is one in which we don't always know exactly where you're leading us to, how we should get there. And you have sent your Spirit and you have left us, the church, to be signposts, to be markers, to encourage and edify and strengthen and nourish us. Lord, as we go downstairs to eat food, we pray that we would also eat the fellowship. And we pray that you would nourish us through others. God, we are grateful that we are not alone in our journey with you. You are present. But you have also left friends to help guide us and come alongside us. God, thank you for fellowship. Thank you that you have not left us alone. But as we think about serving you, Lord, we ask that you would prompt and press our hearts to live into your kingdom, to trust in you and abide in you, so that we may be full and wholesome. Be with all of us this week as we finish out the week, as we use our energy in various ways and possibly even enervate ourselves. We ask that you would fill us up so that we can serve, so that we can love, so that we can fulfill our calling and be citizens of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.